The following has been rated PC for politically correct.
Pay attention, you just may learn something.
It's the Sage, Larry Elder.
So last week, Don Lemon of CNN had on a left-wing writer named Wajahat Ali and an anti-Trump Republican named Rick Wilson. And they were laughing at the defenders of President Trump, who was then undergoing his impeachment trial.
And obviously it's false. And look, he also knows deep in his heart that Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is, you know, an administration defined by ignorance of the world. And so that's partly him playing to their base and playing to their audience, you know, the credulous boomer rube demo that back.
Okay, let's hop that for a second. I have in my baby brown libertarian fingers something called the Trump Supporters Scored Higher on Verbal Ability Test article written by Jim Lundgren of the Volokh Conspiracy and published in Reason.com. We put it up on LarryElder.com. And the article compares Trump supporters to Clinton supporters, asks questions on science, math, 10 questions. Who did better? The best available data is the 2018 General Social Survey. And it adopted a 10-question vocabulary test and also a 10-question science test. And on the 10-question verbal test, Trump supporters scored significantly higher on verbal ability than the rest of the public combined. Clinton supporters scored significantly lower on verbal ability than the rest of the public combined. Of the 22 general social survey questions using verbal ability scale since 1974, for every single one, conservative Republicans score significantly higher than the rest of the public combined. And as for Republicans overall, they score significantly higher in verbal ability than Democrats in all five decades when this was examined. Now, they also argue that Trump supporters are dumb, anti-science, compared to those who support Clinton. Well, it turns out on the questions that were asked of both sides, Trump supporters answered correctly significantly more often than did Clinton supporters about things like lasers, radioactivity, viruses, astronomy. Quote, indeed, less than half of the 2016 Clinton supporters were able to answer correctly both of two related questions, whether the Earth goes around the sun or the sun goes around the Earth, and whether that takes a day, a month, or a year. Remember, these questions were multiple choice. Less than half of the Clinton supporters were able to answer these questions correctly.
Next, Donald Trump, that wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one, and there, oh, y'all elitists are dumb.
you elitists with your geography and your maps and your spelling.
Quote, overall, on most science knowledge questions, Trump supporters scored significantly higher than Clinton supporters and significantly higher than the combined non-Trump supporting public. As for reading maps, which they also joked about, and picking out countries, Republicans were significantly better at finding an unlabeled country on a map than Democrats. In one 2013 Pew study, Republicans were significantly more likely to be able to pick out Syria on a map than Democrats.
Even though my
math and your reading.
Yeah, you're reading, you know, your geography, knowing other countries, sipping your latte.
All those lines on the map.
Quote, the best evidence we have suggests that compared to the general public, Trump supporters scored significantly better than the rest of the public and Clinton supporters scored significantly worse on a standard verbal ability test. Likewise, Trump supporters scored better on most science knowledge questions than did Clinton supporters or the general public.
Only them elitists know where Ukraine is. Sorry, I apologize.
Oh my God.
But you know what? It was Rick's fault. I blame Rick. But in all honesty,
blame
you know what
Rick.
NPR should
Why
do?
Why not? Sorry, hold on. Wait,
can I tell
give
you
me
what?
A second. Hold on. That was good. Sorry.
Oh, one more thing about the Trump supporters scoring higher on verbal ability tests, on science tests, than Hillary supporters. I once had a bet with a gentleman, won quite a bit of money, when I told him that George W. Bush made better grades in college than did Al Gore. He goes, oh, no, Al Gore was brilliant at all. And I said, Al Gore also got a D in science. And turns out that his Harvard professor gave him a D in science. And George W. Bush made better grades in college than did Al Gore, who spent a lot of his time in his dorm room smoking dope, which often does not improve your test transcripts. But yeah, and also George W. Bush had a higher military aptitude test score than did John Kerry. And I believe that's why John Kerry was so reluctant to release his military aptitude scores, not because of a fear that he didn't do what he said he did in the military, but because it would show that his aptitude tests weren't all that high, and he's supposed to be this brainy Renaissance man. Yeah, George W. Bush, dumb. George W. Bush made better grades in college than did brainy Al Gore. I wrote an article about it. We'll put it up on LarryElder.com.
It's the sage, Larry Elder. Do not leave town. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dennis Prager Show. So, let me give the first paragraph of Karen McQuillan's piece, which is up at DennisPrager.com, from American Greatness. Those who are surprised by Bernie Sanders' power in the Democrat primaries of 2016 and 2020 have not been paying attention. The self-styled Democratic Socialist from Vermont has inherited what President Obama sowed. Sanders is riding a wave of well-funded and highly trained young Marxists weaponized by President Obama. It is Obama's hard work that allowed Bernie to jump from fringe character to viable presidential candidate. And then you give examples of his illegally funneling billions of dollars of federal bank fines to left-wing activist organizations. I would say, Karen, that under 1% of Americans know what you wrote.
You're absolutely right, Dennis, and it drives me crazy because, you know, all the journalists like to repeat the same simple talking points. So they say the Democrat Party has gone insane. No, it hasn't gone insane. It's gone hard left. And then occasionally they say, how did this happen? And then they just drop the question as if there's no answer. But we do know the answer because all of this information was published. I mean, when Obama basically stole $3 billion of money that should have gone to the federal government from these bank fines after the meltdown in 2008, when he took office.
Mm-hmm.
Kimberly Stratzel wrote about it.
Right. You linked it, and I read her column, and I am going to read it to my audience tomorrow. Go ahead.
That's terrific. So $3 billion pays. He funneled it to Acorn-type organizations across the country. Just think of how much revolutionary social change that pays for. That's salaries. That's budget.
Wait, forgive me. I think the intermediate step needs to be made clear. Banks were fined. Tell me if I have this right. Banks were fined vast sums of money, and in part of their being able to continue to function was some of that money goes to the federal government, but some must go to nonprofit organizations. Is that correct?
Exactly. They were told, well, the federal government is going to fine you half a million dollars, but you can contribute it to La Raza, and we'll give you a credit.
You hear that, folks?
Come out ahead.
Do you hear? So
it was illegal.
Now, yeah, that's my next question.
It's entirely illegal.
Entirely illegal. So
yes.
Why was no one prosecuted?
That question answers itself, Dennis. Obama got away with anything he wanted.
Right. Right. No, I knew the answer, but I wanted you to address it.
Yes.
Why can anybody be prosecuted now, or is it politically
that
impossible?
I have no idea. I mean, I think our focus now has to be to really understand who we're dealing with. You know, we have the wrong image. We think that the left, all this craziness is from like a bunch of college kids tweeting or some unemployed guy in his mother's basement. And it's not. We're dealing with well-paid, six-figure salary people who are working from the time they wake up in the morning until the end of their workday full-time on pushing radical policies. And it takes power to take over one of the two major parties in America. You know,
How much money did Obama funnel from the government to left-wing activist groups?
Well, it was $3 billion from the bank fines. Then he
I want people to understand $3 billion to La Raza, to Black Lives Matter. Who else?
I don't have the list of all the organizations, but you can find them on the web if you want to dig deep into this.
Well, ACORN.
Yes.
ACORN type organizations. You didn't see it, not ACORN, yeah.
The other very interesting thing he did is that Obama's DOJ was only allowed to hire lawyers from five radical law firms.
Oh, my God. I didn't see that. So your article is about the funneling of funds. So, folks, listen to this. Banks were fined billions of dollars after 2008. And the Obama administration would say, okay, give part of that to nonprofit organizations. So I asked you which ones. You had mentioned La Raza.
Yes.
The Kimberly Strassel article that you referenced mentions the National Council of La Raza, the National Urban League, the National Community Reinvestment Coalition, NeighborWorks America. Does that sound familiar?
That's correct. And then some of these groups, in turn, awarded grants to other hard left organizations.
Right. That's what NeighborWorks America does. As she wrote, awards grants to left-leaning community organization groups and has been compared with ACORN.
Correct.
The number of Americans who don't know this was, other than Kimberly Strassel, did anybody report it at the time?
It was also... There was a good article in the New York Post, and then once Obama got in, Fox News covered a story about how Representative John Ratcliffe, the Republican from Texas, was using the House Judiciary Committee to try and stop this illegal slush fund scheme. So it was in the news again, but it was not picked up on. It was not.
What happened to the Ratcliffe investigation?
I don't know. He was talking about an abuse of power. Judicial Watch was involved.
They have impeached, the House impeached President Trump on abuse of power, which is infinitesimally small compared to this abuse of power.
You know, Judicial Watch's wonderful Tom Fitton was on Fox News, and he talked about this organization. He said the Justice Department under Obama was extorting money from corporations. It's a shakedown. It's corrupt, pure and simple.
I used the word shakedown with my producer earlier. It's mafia-like tactics.
It's community organizing tactics. These are some of the tactics President Obama used in his first job in Chicago as a community organizer. It's classic.
So aside from this illegal funneling of billions to left-wing groups, then there is the, as you write, Obama forced colleges to begin rape witch hunts. to radicalize girls on campus with the woke narrative that masculinity is toxic and ordinary male behavior is rapey. He launched anti-rape initiatives from the White House to target high school students. And to cover their rear ends, colleges created bias response teams to supervise the speech of 2.8 million college students. Obama began the push for privileged treatments for transgender pathology in our schools and the military. One example of an Obama handpicked activist among many, he promoted, this I did not know, Obama promoted Linda Sarsour as a White House champion of change. Sarsour was co-organizer of the Trump Resistance Pussy Hat March. She later had to resign because of her anti-Semitic pro-jihadi attacks on fellow feminists. But here is the key that to his hurting black-white America. The progressive website Slate Star Codex says the single most influential moment in turning millennials into radical activists was Hands Up, Don't Shoot. Few people remember the Hands Up, Don't Shoot lie, and it was a lie. It never happened. Never happened, ladies and gentlemen. Was promoted by President Obama after then Attorney General Eric Holder was dispatched to Ferguson, Missouri, and saw the autopsy reports that exonerated police officer Darren Wilson. Obama cynically used Black Lives Matter to rally flagging support among blacks as the midterm elections approached. That's a big deal.
It's a very big deal. People died.
Karen, I have used the example of he would just, when speaking about race, he would just throw in the word Ferguson.
Yes.
And that proved to me he was a liar.
He never let it go. It was so useful to him.
There is no lie that that President Trump has told that is as toxic as the Ferguson lie of President Obama.
Yes, and I had never really thought about how powerful that was. But when I read the comment in that progressive website, it reminded me that I went to Massachusetts the year after the shooting. Every single church I saw had 10-foot banners on the front about, Black Lives Matter. I went to Harvard Yard, huge banners about Black Lives Matter. For those college kids, that was the big thing in their years of college, that, you know, the big social cause that really formed their identity and helped push this narrative that white America is racist and has no ethical underpinnings.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
You are a liberal.
I am.
We obviously have different politics, but it doesn't matter. On freedom of speech, we are completely united. Do you feel right now, ideologically, not personally, ideologically, your biggest enemy are conservatives or the left?
Oh, there's no question. A, my biggest enemies are the hard left. B, the hard left poses a far greater danger to the American future than the hard right. I'm not worried about a few dozen people with swastikas who want to replace the Jews, because they're our past. They have no resonance on university campuses today.
Right.
But the hard, hard left anti-Semitism, anti-Christianity, intolerance for speech, it's the future. These are our leaders. When I used to teach 150 students in my first year of criminal law, I'd look around and I'd say, future president, future chief justice, future editorial director of the New York Times, future managing partner of Goldman Sachs, they're our future. And that's why we have to worry much more about what's going on university campuses than in Charlottesville.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dennis Prager Show. My friends, I am going to present to you a thesis, which I have often in the past, but with just more and more and more examples. You know, it's very interesting, by the way, apropos of what I'm about to tell you. I will be speaking in Houston in a few weeks at a synagogue, at a major synagogue in Houston. And the Houston Jewish newspaper called me to do an interview. And the very, very sweet guy who interviewed me, and he said, he was reading some of my stuff and listening to the show on KNTH in Houston, and said, you know, you really believe there's a second civil war here? And I said, well, as I say, it's nonviolent, and thank God it is, and may it always remain so, but yeah, there is. The left-right divide in this country is unbridgeable. It's not that we have different ways of achieving similar visions of America. We have entirely different visions of America. That's a very important thing for people to understand. Left and right do not have the same ends, but just have differing means to get there. That would be fine. That wouldn't be a civil war. That would be, we both want the same type of America, and we just have a different way of getting there. Okay, well, we have our way, you have your way of getting there, but we want to get to the same destination. We don't. The left wants to get to Western Europe, and the right wants to remain with American exceptionalism. I mean, there are 100 examples of differences. I'm just giving you one generalized, gigantic one. And he was just so, he said, well, is that true? What did he say? Something to the effect, well, maybe that's true in Los Angeles and New York, but, you know, here in Texas, you know, implying that, you know, the differences are more exacerbated on the coasts. People get along better, perhaps, you know, in a place like Texas. I don't know. I spend so much time in Texas. I think the divide is just as great. The difference is, though, that, you know, outside of Austin, and inner city Dallas or Houston, you don't have many people on the left, and so that may be part of the reason. I don't know how many Buck Fush bumper stickers my interviewer saw in Houston, but those of you in KNTH area will find out. We should put up the speech, by the way. Where's Dennis? So that folks in Houston will know. It's I'm just reminding ourselves to do that. So one great difference between the two is that it's a generalization. It doesn't apply to every single person, but overwhelmingly, people on the left think that people on the right are bad. People on the right think that people on the left are foolish. That's different from bad. And I have so many examples here for, and therefore, by the way, therefore, people on the right can be, their humanity is dismissed. You can humiliate them. You can insult them. You can degrade them. They're worthless. And I'll just give you example after example just from today. That's the point. I'm not going back in the past, you know, with our famous Howard Dean comment, right? The most famous.
Our moral values in contradiction to the Republicans is we don't think kids ought to go to bed hungry at night.
Well, you know, it's my all-time favorite, the former head of the Democratic Party. We don't think kids ought to go to bed hungry at night, but Republicans do. Somebody sent me from, where is this? Savage, Minnesota. Here we go. I live in Savage, Minnesota. This is Jim. Thank you, Jim, who lives in Savage, Minnesota. And they have a community paper there, apparently, which I don't remember the name, but I have this thing here, the Savage something. Be that as it may, it's a community paper there, and they have community voices. So they have 10 voices. One of them, a guy named Sid Gross, writes why I am a Democrat. I love that stuff. I eat it. I'm serious. I devour it. I love reading apologetics for things I don't agree with. And by the way, apologetics is not an insult. I do apologetics for what I believe in. Apologetics is a perfectly legitimate word. It doesn't mean apologize, though it comes from they come from the same root. It means a defense of. I love to hear, this is why I am a Democrat, or this is why I am a whatever it is that I'm not. I love to hear apologetics for other religions. I much prefer books on any religion by a practitioner of the religion. Anyway, so listen to, I'm going to just isolate a few of the lines in this typical screed against Republicans, what they believe. See, they don't know us. That is why debating them is so easy. It's very, very easy to debate people on the left. We know all their arguments, and they know none of ours. I have found that to be true my entire life. They don't read our journals. They don't read our websites. They don't listen to our radio. And we, on the other hand, we go through school immersed in their arguments, immersed in their outlook, immersed in their vision, on TV, on the news, in the newspapers, in movies, in ads, at high school, at elementary school often. I mean, you're shown that nonsense by Al Gore, but nobody sees, you know, Inconvenient Truth, but nobody sees the award-winning British response to it. The schools don't allow a response to it because there's only one way to look at life, and that is through the left-wing prism. So listen to what this guy writes, Why I Am a Democrat. I'll just give you a few lines. Ready? The Republicans think God blesses them and blesses America. The Democrats are willing to admit that sometimes the devil made us do it. So it's a meaningless comment. So let me understand something. When we say God bless America, we don't say God blesses America. We say God bless America. We're asking God to bless America. There's a very big difference, first of all, in that. Secondly, it's the exact same phrase that every Democrat running for president and becomes president say, God bless America. The Republicans think God blesses them? On what grounds does he say that? Did you ever meet a religious leftist? They are certain that God prefers their way of looking at life, certain. There is not a shred of doubt in their minds that they are closer to God's will than conservatives. There is no self-awareness on the part of the left, none. These lines are so arrogant based on ignorance. Ready for the next one? Democrats embrace science. We believe knowledge is better than ignorance. See, whereas we, Republicans, we believe that ignorance is better than knowledge. Is that cool? Wow. This man's an ignoramus and writes that he's knowledgeable. He is ignorant. And, you know, by the way, of course, he uses global warming as one of the examples. So if you don't believe in this spectacular fraud, then you don't want knowledge. Maybe it's you, sir, who when you just lie down, you are supine before the word science says, and that ends all critical ability of your brain. You don't want knowledge. You want experts to tell you what to think. We are far more interested in knowledge. You on the left, have bought more frauds from 50,000 dead from secondhand smoke to heterosexual AIDS in America to Alaren apples to silicone breast implants destroying women's lives, and I mean physically, medically. You have bought more drivel in the name of your worship of science than any of us on the right. By the way, they never give examples. Never, ever. Just a cavalier statement. Democrats embrace science. Yes, Charles Krauthammer, who is, by the way, an MD, and I suspect could run circles in terms of scientific knowledge around this writer, Sid Gross at the Savage Paper here. Savage Pacer, that's the name of it? Okay, the Savage Pacer. And Charles Krauthammer wrote, the issue for the left is that science determines morality, not just knowledge. And that's dangerous. And the man is an agnostic. He's not a believer in God or religion, Krauthammer.
Now that's chutzpah.
Yes, he was. Remember, Krauthammer's paralyzed, and he was against making embryo for stem cell research. He said that's not a science question. That is a morality question. Oh, now I'll give you clips here. Joy Behar, Larry King, Chris Matthews, Ed Schultz, all making the same point. How they dismiss the right. Back in a moment. Take your calls. I'm Dennis Prager. I'm analyzing for you, and all based on recent stuff. Our Howard Dean quote was the only old one because it serves as our motto of the way in which the right sees the left. The left sees the right, excuse me. as just bad. Remember, we're bad. They care about children going to bed hungry at night. Here's a perfect example. Here's Joy Behar, and the reason for the stuttering here is because I so have a rule in my life that you don't insult anybody, and so okay, you're right. Okay, I won't say anything. I won't say it. And it's not about her. It's about, well, it is. Well, all right, doesn't matter. Here's Joy Behar doing exactly what Howard Dean did here.
They don't seem to care about poor people. Do you think Sarah Palin gives a damn about poor people? Or that other bargain, Michelle Bachmann? They don't care. Those two brain trusts.
They don't care.
Okay, hold on. Leave it at that. That's it. I want to keep that, by the way. They don't care about poor people. See, here's the irony. We could more easily say that they don't care about poor people because they don't know how to create wealth in society, and they therefore produce more poor people. But we don't. It doesn't occur to us to say that they don't care. I could so easily say that the left doesn't care about Black America because it has hurt it so terribly with identity politics, with affirmative action, with changing standards, with the welfare system knocking out the need for marriage in so many welfare families. I mean, what has been done by teaching an entire generation of Blacks, repeating over and over that whites are racist? You know what a terrible impact that has on a child? I'm Jewish. Can you imagine if the society constantly told me, if non-Jews constantly announced, imagine this, if everywhere I went, elementary school, high school, college, television, all I heard was, this is an anti-Semitic society. You know what? You know how that would have set me back from thinking that, first of all, how much anger it would have bred in me, which is so self-destructive, and how much it would have set me back from being a happy human being, and how much it would have set me back from thinking that I could get ahead. Do you know what white liberals have done, and Black liberals, to hurt Blacks? So do we go around saying you're a bunch of racists? No. Maybe we ought to. Maybe I'm not, now that I think of it, maybe we ought to. Maybe we really ought to deal with them the way they deal with us, and we have far more evidence. We could really say, you know, if you continue to lie about us, we'll tell the truth about you. That should be our motto to the left. If you keep lying about us, well, by golly, we'll tell the truth about you. And so this notion, we don't care about poor people. Maybe we have better solutions to poverty than you do. Maybe we understand the issue of poverty and that giving people paralyzes them. Why is it beneficial to give the able-bodied, it's like giving the able-bodied aid when they could be working. It is truly as if one were to say about one's alcoholic son or daughter, and the one parent says, you know what, I'm not giving them another penny, and the other parent saying, you don't care about her. You don't care about him. Which parent is doing better for the kid? The one who is cutting off funding and enabling money to the alcoholic or the drug dependent child, or the one who keeps enabling? The left are the enablers of pathology in our society, and they think that we are the ones who don't care about them. So that was another classic example. And I read to you, this is just, I tell you this, from the Savage Pacer, this community paper in Savage, Minnesota. This guy, here, I told you, Democrats embrace science. We believe knowledge is better than ignorance. How about this one? On foreign policy, the Republicans think might makes right. Democrats believe we can achieve world peace only through international cooperation and not through military intervention. I assume that Sid Gross, by his name, is Jewish. And I would just like to ask him, do you think that the Holocaust could have been ended through international cooperation and not through military intervention? I would, if I could have one question to this man, we ought to invite him on. It would be the only reason not to is because if I really did ask the penetrating questions, people would think I bullied a guy who is, you know, doesn't have a major voice in society. So that's always a problem. So we heard the friend. Now there's a comedian on, you said, right? The man laughing. Who is he? Lewis Black. Okay, let's hear Lewis Black's deep comments.
They don't care. Those two brain trusts.
No, they don't care, and they act like they're getting something. What the poor are getting at this point allows them to breathe. They act like they're going to clubs. They're having the time of their lives. There's nothing better than poverty.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it. That's. I guess I assume he was trying to be funny because he's a comedian, but it doesn't seem to have worked. Now, next, this is all in the last day or two. Please understand, this is the daily bombardment of Republicans are bad and stupid and racist, bad and stupid and racist and sexist. Don't care about the poor. Don't care about kids not going to bed. This is the bombardment, and it works. It works because most people do not have an alternative source of thought. They don't. This is the dominant way in which they learn it at school, from teachers left of center to textbooks left of center, and then watch TV, which is left of center, et cetera, et cetera. Here's Chris Matthews.
Coming up, what happens to Republicans who don't march to the right-wing tune? Well, they're getting purged. This is Stalinesque stuff.
Stalinesque.
I think watching this, like, all of
okay,
I study.
Stalinesque. So that's allowable. Stalin, the second greatest mass murderer in history, Mao was the number one. He was number two, and Hitler was number three. And so this is Stalinesque. Imagine if we said that. If we said that about the left. If I did, or anybody on conservative radio. Frank Rich of the New York Times said that the Tea Party has already had Kristallnacht. I was going to say I'm amazed the ADL has not attacked him, but the ADL would never attack a New York Times columnist. They're probably neighbors in the same apartment building. It's unbelievable. Kristallnacht, the night that the Nazis unleashed the smashing of synagogues, the killing of Jews in the streets of Germany, and the smashing of the store windows of Jewish-owned businesses in 1938. And that's compared to the Tea Parties. We'll be back in a moment. I was playing for you excerpt after excerpt, but we have more. I tell you, it would not be a bad thing to have this as a weekly or biweekly feature. Is biweekly once every 2 weeks or twice a week? Nobody knows the answer to that. No one. It is. It's one of the great. It's only the deity knows. No, why do you? It's not. What is it? Biweekly. No, yes, a biweekly is twice a week. Yeah, but everybody uses it both ways. That's the problem. Nah, they're wrong. All right, you know, we have a guest here who says they're wrong. You know, it's like you enter this room and a great increase in knowledge happens. Very good. All right, very good. I understand. I'm serious, though. We should regularly just have as a feature what, and I don't mean voices in the street. I don't mean people anonymously writing into blogs cursing out the other side. You have that on both sides. I mean official spokespeople. What they say, or people on television, what they say about Republicans, Tea Party people, conservatives, etc. Even Tom Friedman. What did Tom Friedman say about talk radio? Just that it was a fanaticism or something like that in two columns ago. I shouldn't even say even Thomas Friedman. Thomas Friedman as well. New York Times foreign policy columnist who is sort of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. When he writes about foreign policy, he is eminently worth reading even if you differ. The moment he gets into anything domestically, he turns into another clone of Howard Zinn. It's fascinating. It's just fascinating. It's like they're learned. They are taught lines, hate radio, fanatics, etc. There's all right. Anyway, so let's go to the next one. I played for you Chris Matthews that the Republican Party is like Stalin. Do we have Joy Behar that Sarah Palin and Republicans don't care about poor children? Of course, the Howard Dean's an old one. Did we get to what do we have now? Larry King and Ed Schultz. So, but Larry King actually, to his credit, comes out with a very interesting admission. Go ahead.
We can't leave without asking you. My producers say I must ask you. Oh, Sarah Palin, what do you think? Sarah Palin. I got to say her name because we have to say it every night.
That was Larry, God bless you. Exactly. And, of course, it can only be said with derision. That is all. See, the analysis, I'll tell you, it is worth analyzing the hatred and derision of Sarah Palin. Who's the one who said that she should pose for Playboy? Where was that on? That's so we continue then. Who was Larry King talking to? Oh, Sarah Silverman. Okay, go ahead.
Sarah Palin, what do you say?
About what? Her posing in Playboy?
There you go.
I think she should go for it.
Yeah, there you go. That's really great. Can you imagine if we said that about anyone on our side said that about a woman? Janet Napolitano, she should pose for Playboy. Now, all right, I'm not being dismissive of Janet Napolitano. That's not my point. Let us say very few women are as beautiful as Sarah Palin. That's admitted, okay? So it's no reflection on Janet Napolitano. But take anyone. Can you imagine if that were said on national television by our side, the sexism? But they can't be sexist. They can't be homophobic. They can't be xenophobic. They can't be bigoted. They can't be racist. They're immunized. Yes, I think I got the whole list. Thank you. All right. Now, wait. Talk show lunatics. Whoa, that's Friedman's concept. I would like you all, by the way, seriously, this is, you don't even have to yet have sent me your name and joined. This week, I promised everybody we tell them the name this week. So, we should. But in the meantime, my army, Dennis's Menaces, we'll always keep that as the cute name, but that won't be the official name. But this is the sort of thing I would love you to, I would send out a quick thing to all of you. It's what we're trying to arrange. And to send Tom Friedman a very, very thoughtful little email, could you please tell us who are the lunatics you're referring to? You know, we listen to a Dennis Prager, a Bill Bennett, a Hugh Hewitt, a Michael Medved, just as examples. Did you ever hear any of them, sir? They're all on in New York. Did you ever hear any of them? I am devoting this hour to example after example just in the last few days of the way in which the right is described by the left regularly. Now, there are descriptions of the left that are negative, too, but they're so confined to a much smaller number or percentage of people on the right who are in public discourse. It is universal on the left. That's why I cite to you the fact that New York Times reporters, almost all of them who have written about the Tea Partiers, describe them as racist. Bob Herbert, what is Blow's first name? Charles Blow, Frank Rich. I don't know if Paul Krugman has. He did something analogous. He writes mostly on economics. If you're going to find for me a talk show host who has said something negative, that's an example. I agree. He said something negative about the left, but you don't have George Will doing this. You don't have Krauthammer. You don't have talk show hosts like myself doing this. There's no comparison. Would we say that people on the left don't care about children or, you know, the nonsense that they say to us? Well, we have children. Why would we not care about children? They don't care about clean air. Yes, we love breathing in dirty air. It's a Republican trait. As soon as you enter the Republican Party, in fact, you're given a gas mask.
You mind if I don't smoke?
Okay, let's go to some of your calls. And let's see here. Steve in Denver, Colorado. No, one second. Whoops, I pressed the wrong button. I'm sorry, Steve. Okay, Dory in Camarillo, California. Dory, hi.
Hi, hi, Dennis. It's a pleasure to speak to you. Just a quick background. I'm a Jewish woman, and I have a graduate degree from UCLA. I'm not a dunderhead. That said, I changed my point of view politically about 12 years ago. I was a Democrat, as were my grandparents and my parents. But that said, I feel that the left is winning. And the reason why I believe that they're winning in some regards is that people like yourself and other people in conservative talk radio and on television are totally and completely defending themselves over and over again. People on MSNBC, those commentators, are really preaching to the choir. Unlike your show or maybe Fox, they have a tremendous audience of both Democrats, independents, and Republicans. And they're spending, and you're spending, so much time defending yourself against these ludicrous accusations of racism. We don't, everything that you said, instead of talking about the issues. What the Democrats and the left wing is doing is they cannot talk about the issues because America is a center-right country. So they will lose on the issues. So they're coming at us with these crazy attacks, and people that are clear-thinking, which most Americans are, don't believe them. And I believe so strongly that instead of talking continuously about how we're not racist, how we do care about children, how we do care about clean air, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, we have to talk about the differences between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party and the far left. They're all, they become far left, the Democratic Party.
All right, let me react here. First, I can only speak for me on this one. I do exactly what you say. I spend 99% of my time, when we do talk politics, I talk other issues as well, clarifying the differences. That's why my motto is I prefer clarity to agreement. That's what I do. That's why I have Prager University, in addition to my radio show and writing, to explain the American Trinity, E Pluribus Unum, and God We Trust in Liberty. This is what we stand for. They stand for the bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. That's why we're making bumper stickers like that. Google that phrase. I came up with that phrase about 3 months ago. Google that phrase. There were tens of thousands of hits now on that phrase alone. So that's all we're doing is offering a positive response. The reason that I am pointing out what I'm pointing out today is to do exactly what Dory said. They don't talk issues. That's what they do is they talk attack. They don't talk issues. That is exactly right. And when they talk issues, it is so convoluted. In the I'm just looking at USA Today. Yes, I love taxes. There's this man, Rich Benjamin, a senior fellow at some think tank. Call me old-fashioned, but I think it's unpatriotic to demonize the funding of our government. Okay, there we go. So he writes here, for example, deep in my heart, I am proud, deep in my bones, I am proud and glad to pay my income taxes. Therefore, a man who is glad to pay that should give more. There is something so false about that claim. He's thrilled to give it, and he will pass laws to make sure that I am thrilled to give it too. Don't they have contempt for women who say, deep in my bones, I think that it is homicide to take a human fetus's life? So what do you say to that person? And that's taking life, not paying a tax. So what does the left say to that woman? Okay, then you don't have an abortion. But who the hell are you to tell other women not to have an abortion and pass laws like that? But we can't say that to him. You like to pay high taxes? God bless you. Then pay more taxes. No one is stopping you from writing a bigger check. But you want to impose your idiosyncratic love of paying taxes on those of us who think that it's vastly wasted money going to bureaucracies that want to control my life and tell colleges, as I reported earlier today, what sports they can fund, even though men want sports much more than women do. But listen, the Tea Party movement comprises protesters politically awakened by the recession. That's not true. They're politically awakened by the unprecedented expansion of government. They have everything about us wrong. Everything. I have not read an accurate statement of what the right believes in my life by a leftist. Not once. You know why? If they understood what we believed, they would be one of us. That is why clarity is our best friend. That's why I don't have any intention of arguing. I just like to make clear. That's why they hate when you make clear the differences. They say, oh, you're putting words in my mouth. No, I'm not. That's actually your position. I tell you, it would be, there's not enough time. You think 3 hours is enough, it's not enough time. I would love to devote an hour every day to just taking what the left is writing and just and analyzing it rationally. They make up things that people on the right stand for and then attack it, just exactly like this guy named Rich Benjamin in USA Today. The Tea Party movement comprises protesters politically awakened by the recession. That's not true. And then he goes and says, then if they're all so poor, and of course the New York Times just had an article saying that they're wealthier than most Americans. So his whole analysis is wrong. You know why? Because the left lives in a theoretical bubble. From Marx to Rich Benjamin in USA Today, they have a theory on life and they fit reality into the theory. Rather than they look at life, it's like the men and women are basically the same thing that the left came up with. That was their theory, and then they would make up things. And then when you give them evidence, it's like the handful of letters that I would get, not often, but I get, oh, men look at women look at men the same way men look at women. So then I write back, really, then why is all the porn on the internet, 99.9% of it geared toward men, whether gay or straight? Why aren't women paying money to look at men's thighs? And then I get back a letter. Well, that's because we were socialized not to, or by a man. Women were socialized not to. Yeah, but you're in private. Now, it's a world of theory into which reality is then placed. All righty. Let's see here. We don't have a lot of time. Let me go quickly here to Allentown, Pennsylvania, and Bob. Thank you, Bob, for calling. Dennis Prager.
Hey, Dennis. By the way, I agree with most of what you said a couple segments ago about the left and the poor and everything. But I think you're being a bit, and by the way, I'm an independent, I think you're being a bit disingenuous when you say that the left can get away with hate speech all the time, where if the right says something like that, there's no way they can get away with it, or the criticism is so harsh. And I'll just couple examples. Palin and the death squads and everybody that jumped on that bandwagon.
Nobody jumped on the bandwagon. It was said once. It was death panel. I've never used the term.
Wait, let me just wait.
I wish we had more time. You must call me tomorrow. I'm serious. I just want to make clear, though, your point proves my point. The woman has been excoriated for that term. But when Chris Matthews says Stalinesque, or when Frank Rich says that the Tea Partiers are Nazis that do commit Kristallnacht, nothing happens. That proves my point.